question we've received this afternoon, that what are the acts which make ghusl obligatory? Before getting to answering that question, one important thing to consider is that at the time of excitement in the beginning, in a particular fluid which increases the excitement comes out, this fluid is called mazi, precoital fluid. And when climax is reached, one is satisfied, the liquid which comes out at that time is called mani, or semen. And that which distinguishes the two is that when semen comes out, one becomes satisfied and his passion is cooled. And when the cooling, or when the coming out of mazi does not increase the excitement, but it increases it, does not decreases it. And furthermore, mazi is a thin white, thin while semen is thick. The discharge of mazi does not make ghusl obligatory, however wudu becomes. So then coming back to the question as to what are the acts which make ghusl obligatory. If semen is discharged out of passion while one is awake or asleep, ghusl becomes wajib, irrespective of whether it is discharged by touching a person of the opposite sex, or by having any such thoughts or fantasies, or by any other way. In all cases, ghusl will become wajib. That's the first way. Number two is that if one awakens and sees semen on his clothing or body, ghusl will be wajib, irrespective of whether one saw a dream or not. The third is that when the glands of the male private and enters the private of the lady and is no longer visible, then ghusl becomes wajib, irrespective of whether semen was discharged or not. The insertion of the private of the male the front makes ghusl obligatory, irrespective of whether semen is discharged or not. And if it's inserted in the back passage, then too ghusl will become obligatory. However, as we all aware, that is a major sin to insert, or to ask someone to insert, into the back passage. So that is just a point of clarity. Then the blood which is discharged monthly is called haidh, menstruation, or monthly period. And when this blood stops flowing, ghusl becomes obligatory. That blood which is discharged after childbirth is called nifas, and ghusl also becomes obligatory when this blood stops flowing. So in short, ghusl becomes obligatory in four conditions. Number one, discharge of semen out of excitement. Number two, entry of the glands of the male private into the female private. Number three, at the end of menstruation. And number four, at the end of nifas. Now, furthermore, there are other situations that come about, that while sleeping one has a wet dream or even experiences some excitement. However, on awakening one notices that no semen was discharged, so ghusl will therefore not be obligatory. However, if semen was discharged, then ghusl will be obligatory. If there's any wetness on the clothing or the body, but one is in doubt as to whether it is mazi or semen, then too it will be obligatory to make ghusl. Another situation is that a little semen comes out and one therefore had a bath immediately after that. After bathing and one did not sleep or urinate or walk 40 steps, more semen comes out before doing that, then it will be obligatory to take another bath again. Another scenario is that if after bathing the husband's semen comes out of the wife's private, then the ghusl will be complete and it will not be necessary for her to repeat it. Sometimes you have a situation where, due to sickness or some other reason, semen comes out on its own accord. There was no excitement or desire, then ghusl will not be obligatory, but wudu will break. If you have a situation where a husband and wife were sleeping on one bed, and when they awoke, they saw stains of semen on the bed sheet. However, neither the husband nor the wife remember seeing any dream. As a precaution, both of them should have a bath, because it's not known as to whose semen it is. If a non-Muslim accepts Islam, it is mustahab for the person to take a bath. If someone gives ghusl to a dead person, it's mustahab for that person to have a bath. If one upon whom ghusl is obligatory wishes to eat or drink something before going for a bath, then one should wash their hands, the face, and gargle the mouth. And thereafter, you may drink and eat. But if you eat or drink without washing your hands and face, there's no sin on that. It's not permissible for one on whom ghusl is obligatory to touch the Quran, read it, or enter the masjid. However, it's possible to take the name of Allah, to read the kalima, to read Durood Sharif, The rules are similar to these, most of which have been covered. And to touch the book of Tafsir without taking the ghusl or without wudu is makruh. to touch a Quran or this translation is also not allowed. So these are some brief points in this regard. May Allah grant us the understanding.